Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Ederson's 25% owned. Larissa's 25% owned. Ederson's lining up for the penalty. It's like, if this gets saved or scored, it's going to make the difference literally on the entire slate.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be the most pivotal play in all of DFS soccer history. Right?
Hello and welcome into another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Joined on this Thursday, February 11th, by Jordan Cooper to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. Jordan, do you always know what the date is?
Yeah, I have it on my Mac screen. It shows Thursday, February 11th.
Well, like, I can see it, but like, did you know that it was February 11th?
I mean, I do a show every morning, so I mean, I see the... I guess so. I mean, the days just roll into each other, right?
That's what
I mean,
yeah.
Soccer day. Oh, that means it's Saturday. Oh, okay. Okay, that's what day this is. But during the week, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Tuesdays, they all kind of feel the same.
Right. And so that's the thing. I always have to look because I just never – the date even doesn't even matter to me. It's the day of the week where I'm just like – I usually talk to Jordan on Thursdays. Sometimes it's Friday, so I have to check to – oh, it is Thursday. Okay. Anyway, here to talk about Saturday's three-game Premier League slate. We had four games last week. Was that even last week?
So you don't even know what day it is.
The last time.
It doesn't matter. It could have been 3 months.
We're back to these small to a small slate with a staggered start time. We're back still the 9 to 5, but we only get three games to choose from. I would argue that I think you can make a case that you would want for each game that you would want that to be the first lineup, but obviously we can't change that. But I have a feeling that the way I look at this slate is a little different than the way you're going to look at it, but I think we might end up in the same place.
Okay, I'm interested to see how we're going to look at it differently. I mean, we have the biggest favorite on the slate is in the second game, Man City -297 home favorites against Tottenham. That's about a 3 total. Then we got a +142 Crystal Palace home favorite. That's the lowest total on the slate, 2.25 against Burnley. And then we have Aston Villa, who's currently a +159 away favorite to Brighton. And that total's around 2.75. So I'm interested to hear how our approaches are going to be different.
So we'll go through players, obviously, in a little bit. But like, I think if it was a blind, like you were blindly saying, like, these are the odds. Are you going to try to get as much as the top team as possible?
I think the answer is no. I think you could make a lineup without any Man City players and it's fine.
So I agree with you on that one.
Will I get there? Maybe not.
That's the maybe not also. So the way I was looking at it is, I think Man City will beat Tottenham. Like, I think they should be the biggest favorite on this slate. And because they're Man City, they have the highest implied goal total. But I think you have to go into this slate thinking that they don't blow them out. And the way we usually play, like, how much Man City do you want is this similar situation, big favorite, highest implied goal total. And we're like, we just want as much as possible because, not because we think everyone's going to score, but because if somebody score, or the few people that score, we want to just make sure we have them. And the peripheral guys, like, whatever. It almost doesn't matter because the goals will take them out. I think it's possible that that game is low scoring, but I also think it's possible that all the Man City guys hit their, like, non-goal ceilings.
Well, only because of the way that Mourinho plays with Tottenham, that Man City could have 80% possession this game. not score a goal, yet all their players be close to double digits.
Right. So, like, I think you have to look at this slate. Like, are you willing to pay these prices if all of them score as highly as they can without scoring a goal, which generally for these guys is around 10 to 15, depending on the guy. And I think they're actually priced okay if that's your expectation. Like, they're almost underpriced if you think that they blow Tottenham out. And they're not really, the odds aren't like that they're going to truly blow them out, but like, they're very firm favorites. So I kind of went into this like, you can make a great lineup with no Man City, but if you played all Man City, even without expecting them to score five goals, I think that's okay too.
No, I know, I agree with you. It depends on your lineup construction, because at forward, we have players that we could play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not void. I think when we get to midfield, I think just to start on midfield before we get to forward, the biggest decisions on the slate is whether or not you pay up at midfield or pay up at forward. Because I think there are two midfielders to pay up for, and it's going to be very hard to pay up for both of them and then also pay up at forward as well. Because I think defense is a puntable position this slate.
Totally.
I don't think there's anyone necessarily worth paying up for at defense. It really comes in to what you want to do. If you want to pay up twice at midfield, you're going to have to find some type of forward value. And you could probably only pay up once. But here at the top of midfield, we got Sterling at 9,500. I think he's wholly unnecessary in cash games.
Yeah, I agree.
The more interesting range is that, like, 6,900 to 8,400 range. That's a better, obviously I'm giving price points, because we have Pascal Gross at 8,400.
Yep.
In the late game, who could possibly not even start, right? We could see, or we could see Trossard at 8,100.
Yep.
You could see both of them in. Then we have Eze, Eze,
yep.
And Townsend, 8,200 and 7,800. And then we also have Mahrez and Bernardo Silva. Mahrez at 7,900, Bernardo Silva at 7,100. Then we also have like guys like El Ghazi and Traore. If they manage to get the start, I don't think they do. And then you got Dwight McNeil at 6,900. I don't think if you're paying up for two midfielders, you could play two of these guys. You could play one of them, but not two of them. Do you disagree with me?
I disagree in terms of whether you are truly open to punting both defender spots to the max.
To the max, but you have to do
maybe
it
not
to the
max.
Right, but you're going to be somewhere in like that 3K range twice.
I was going to say if you are comfortable spending 6,000 or less on two defenders, then you can get all these guys.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you. Is that optimal? I don't know. Could be. Out of all the guys in this range, I said it last week with Pascal Gross at 9,200. I don't think he's necessary. And also with him being in the late game, I'm much more likely to play Eze. I'm much more likely to play. Even if Townsend's in, I'd still play Eze over Townsend. And if Townsend's not in, I definitely would play Eze over Gross. Even I would play him even over Mahrez, I guess, if Mahrez happens to start. But we don't even know that. Mahrez may not start. So, like, that first game, we have Crystal Palace and Burnley. Are you willing to lock up both forward spots with Eze and McNeil if you're going to go into that? If you're going to play both pay-up midfielders and punt twice the defense, you're kind of locking yourself into that type of build. But I'm going to argue that you could punt in one forward spot.
You could. The two guys that we didn't mention that I think are kind of worth mentioning in this range, and it's possible neither starts. You're obviously a little stuck. I mean, similarly, if they're obviously not Burnley and Crystal Palace guys. What do you do if Aguero starts?
Is he going to play 90?
I doubt it.
7,300? I mean...
Or if Jesus starts at 6,800.
Right, you're right. But
like,
I
they
mean,
have to be in the consider. Like, you're saying, I would much rather, not much rather, but would you rather play Dwight McNeil or Jesus when Jesus is the possibly the center forward for the biggest favorite with the highest implied goal total?
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a matter of are you going to sacrifice floor for ceiling? Because we take a look at the goal scoring odds. I mean, no one is a minus goal scorer.
Yep.
Aguero's plus 102, Sterling 133. Jesus 148, Foden 160, right?
Yep.
We take a look here. I mean, Maupai is 163 and he's 6,200,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, if you're just going for pure goal scoring, we have Gundogan. Gundogan is 160? Is that because of penalties?
Probably.
Right? Even though he missed one.
Right? Yeah, it could be Ederson.
Right, right. Wouldn't that be one hell of a tilt? Man City get a penalty and your goalkeeper gets the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Does that add extra? I mean, this is kind of weird. We're going to go right to goalkeeper in this immediately. Does that add a little extra upside to paying up a goalkeeper for Ederson?
It does. There's no guarantee. A, there's no guarantee they earn a penalty, and B, there's no guarantee he takes it. Like,
right.
This
Do you really
be...
see that happening, that they have the goalkeeper come in and take the penalty?
It depends how many head-to-heads I have against Ederson.
That's really what it comes down to. Right?
I think like it's absurd to think of this, but like I think it's worth thinking about.
You got to bump up his projection by a point.
Right, like you're not right, if you're paying him for the win clean sheet.
Right.
So if you get the goal, I'd like to point out, because there are people who, this is obviously centered around DraftKings, but there are people who play on FanDuel who watch this. You do not get any outfield points for goalies on FanDuel. So if he scores a goal, you don't get any points.
Okay, but on DraftKings you do.
Yes.
Because occasionally we see the goalkeeper assists.
Yep.
Right, so we see that there.
Mm-hmm.
So at going down at forward, I played him last week in cash. I think he's perfectly fine as a punt. His floor is suspect. He did well last week. He got me 8.8 points. Vidra, it's 3,900. Now, last week, JBG and Vidra were the same price, and I thought JBG was the safer, like, floor play, but how much difference in floor was good was Goodmunson and Vidra, and Vidra has so much higher goal scoring odds. So I played Vidra, and JBG was the one that scored his first goal of the season.
Yeah, in 75 years.
Right. I mean, I still did well last week, but I mean, I would have won one. Like that was the 1v1. If I had JBG over Vidra, I would have won like the large field GPP with just that. But truthfully, at 3,900. I mean, he typically plays 90 or close to 90. If you're going to punt there, like, I'd rather play Vidra at 3,900 than Ruben Diaz at 3,800 in a defender spot. Like, I'd rather play Vidra than the defenders in that price.
I'm legitimately angry you brought him up.
Why? Are you angry? Because why?
Because I was going to bring him up.
Oh, okay. That's the reason why. Okay.
Because I was going to bring him up because, and you were going to tell me how stupid it would be. No, you were supposed to tell me how stupid it was because JBG's right there, even without set pieces. And I, damn it.
Did you not see my cash lineup last week?
No, I didn't see it last weekend. I didn't play last weekend.
Normally you look at my cash lineup because whatever random person scores a goal or something that was a thin play,
right.
You typically message me and go, right. Of course you got the Willock goal. Of course. Right?
No,
of course,
full disclosure.
Right. I was Thomas Suchek in cash, and like, oh, he got two goals out of him, of course.
Yeah, it's at 6,800.
Cash lineup, he has the score.
No, I was driving before lock last week, and so I decided not to play. I played the later showdowns, so that's why I didn't know that. That's outrageous. So do you think he's actually better than Jay Rodriguez, who's even cheaper?
Is Jay Rod even going to start?
I think it's. Oh, that's true. I guess it could be Barnes, right?
Right. I would figure Barnes and Vedra. That's how they've been lining up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but I would consider, okay, fine, Jay Rodriguez, fine, 3,600. I'm just saying that the defender position is bad enough that, like, can I get floor at defense and get upside at forward rather than the other way around? I'd rather get a defender that may have a better chance at 6 to 8 points and get a forward that has a chance of 6 to 8 points than get a forward that has like an 8 to 10 point floor and a defender that legitimately has a 0 point floor, right? Like if you're going to go down to 3,900, 3,600 at defense, you have to be happy with 2 points.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but at least if I'm paying that price for a forward, you know, 12 plus points is in the cards more often than not.
I think he's a fine play. I think then the expectations
are low.
You get
everyone you want. I mean, you could play everyone.
Mm-hmm. I was actually, when I was building my, like just quickly going through with a dummy lineup, and then I started playing around with this double punt defense, I still ended up at like 4,000 left. And I was like, oh, is it Vedra or Vidra?
Who knows?
Yeah. I thought it was Vidra. But anyway.
He knows, obviously.
But I was like, am I really going to play him? And then I'm like looking into it. And I'm like, yeah, because in 3,900, like in that range, there's not much else anyway. There's no 4K midfielder that is like, I know can get 8 points. It's 2 points. So stealing my bit.
What? That means we're both sharp. Watch him only score 1.5 points.
Yeah. Right.
But at midfield, Grealish, Foden, right? That's what you want?
Yep.
Truthfully, I prefer Grealish over Foden if I had to choose between the two.
Grealish was the first guy in my lineup.
Yeah, 9,100, favorite position against Brighton.
The way I was
now
looking,
he's taking more set pieces also.
Yeah. The way I was looking at this slate was, let me start with Grealish and see what happens. And I was perfectly content with what happened. And so he was in. It wasn't like let me get some other guys in and hopefully I can make my way to Grealish. Like I started at Grealish and I went from there.
Right. Grealish at 9,100 without set pieces is worth it.
Yeah.
And also he's one of the few players. Like, can you look this up like we did last week with James Ward-Prowse? Does Grealish ever come off the field?
No.
I mean, does he ever? I mean, has he played any game that he did not play 90?
The only reason I'm thinking of this, let me see quickly. I'm pulling it up here. Oh, he played 87 once against Newcastle.
Oh, too risky now. He may not play. I may get 3 minutes less. Oh, my God.
So when they came back from the COVID break last year, I did like rest of season projections and I projected Grealish to play every minute. And somebody called me out on it and they were like, he's coming back after COVID. Like he didn't have COVID, but like, that's ridiculous. You can't possibly think he's going to play every minute. And they had an extra game too. And the dude played every minute. That's what he does.
Because without Grealish on the pitch for Aston Villa, the team sucks.
It's awful. Yeah.
I view him the same way like Zaha on Crystal Palace. Like without Zaha on the pitch, Crystal Palace sucks. Right.
Yeah.
Same thing for James Ward-Prowse on Southampton, truthfully, right? But yeah, Grealish was the first guy in. Like the thing with Foden is that Man City set pieces, depending on how they line up, it could be any. I mean, they go all over the place, so I'm not necessarily relying on that. But I mean, Foden's open play value is worth it. But they also rotate this front line. Like we saw last game, like he has upside. He was playing in a false nine. But like when you play in a false nine, if you're not scoring goals and stuff, I mean, you're not crossing from that position.
Right.
You're not. I mean, your touches are going to go down. So, like, really, it depends on how Man City line up. And they're all priced in a way that for their floors, I think they're fairly all interchangeable. I mean, I'm not paying $8,500 for Gundogan. Are you kidding me? I don't care. Did he get there last time? I mean, at some point, he's not.
He had a brace. It was a Liverpool match. He scored twice.
Against Liverpool.
Yeah. So, speaking of
that
Liverpool.
Look at his game log. This is look at his game log.
It's ridiculous. He looks like Neymar.
But look, on the last game against Liverpool, he had 3 shots, 2 goals, and really not much else. The one before that, he had 5 chances created and an assist. Like, okay. And then he had 3 chances created, 5 crosses against Sheffield. Okay. Then he's 7,100, scores 2 goals on 2 shots. Right? I mean, like, Aston Villa, yeah, okay, sure. I'll give him that. 6 shots.
There's no reason to play to pay extra for Gundogan. Like you're, I don't know how you do that. Looking at that Liverpool game, so how like odd set pieces can be. Liverpool or Man City won that game 4-1, and they
had
one
a single corner.
They had one corner, and Jesus took it.
Probably short.
It was short.
Right. I mean, he's not crossing the ball.
So I don't know how you play Gundogan over Foden. I'll put it that way.
Especially when you're playing Ederson for penalties.
Right. I think the benefit of Foden, other than Sterling, is that you could play anyone else. Like in the midfield spot, there other than Jesus and Aguero, everybody's midfield eligible anyway. So like if you, and not that you're going to be that far behind anyway after one game, but like if you wanted to play Mahrez, you can just flip Mahrez in there. But
I think Mahrez is the most appealing Man City player from a floor ceiling combination.
I think we think he is, but he's
because he is.
He's been pretty awful. Trying to pull him up here. Like it's like, I think we're used to set piece Mahrez and not.
Why couldn't he be set piece Mahrez? KDB is out.
He's been playing and barely gets any. Like 2 corners in the last 3 starts, 4 starts.
Right. I guess I could look. I mean, game log watching. I guess
he's just not. He's taken more than one shot once in his last like 7 games.
Okay.
And they kill people. Gundogan is taking 5 shots and Mahrez is taking 1.
So you play Foden then?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that these options seem like you're playing made one of them and like if whoever you choose, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's fine. If Ferran Torres is out there and you want to play for 7,400, okay. Whatever. But like in this mid-range, like to me, there's no one. Right? Until you get down to obviously Ashley Westwood, who I always have to bring up.
Before we get to Westwood, since we just completely ignored them, you don't play anybody from Spurs?
Oh, no, not at these prices. Are you kidding me?
The prices are so odd to me. With that
8,900 being, for Son?
Yeah.
8,700 for Kane?
When they're the second, when they're the biggest underdog on the slate.
Yeah, they're not the second biggest, they're the biggest.
The biggest, yeah.
No, not a chance.
All right, just checking. I think Westwood at 5,100 is perfectly fine.
Right there, fine. Last piece, throw him in.
Yep.
Who cares? I'd rather play Westwood at 5,100 than some defenders, right?
All of them.
All of them, pretty much, yeah. And then, like, I don't mind, like, a McAllister if he started, but he's in the late game and he's 4,200 and you'll never know.
Right.
If he's in your utility and then you're going to switch over to a defender or something if he's not in, okay, I could see that. But I wouldn't hinge your lineup on him. And he's 4,200. I don't think it's okay. You could play him, sure.
I just don't see any viable build of... With a very cheap midfielder.
No, because there aren't any. I mean, that's the main reason. Like, there's really no one to play. Lamella? Didn't he take set pieces? 3,200?
Yeah. And now you want him as the biggest underdog?
Well, he's 3,200. I mean, who knows if he even starts or how many set pieces right. They're going to get. I have to assume that you know, Tottenham are going to be bunkering, like, pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's, this may be the most boring Man City game there is.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have the ball a lot, but, you know, how many good chances are they going to get? And then Tottenham will be on the counter, so how many set-piece opportunities are they going to get?
Right.
So what does it matter?
Or anything, like any shots or, like...
Anything, right. They may not... Tottenham may not have a shot in this game.
Yeah, that, it's ugly.
But then a defender, like, do you need to pay $5,600 for Cancelo?
I look at it as if you have $5,600, and because we were like, oh, Westwood, just like if he's the last spot, throw him in. Like, I think you could make the argument that Cancelo is better than Westwood.
Well, because you also get the clean sheet equity.
Yeah, but I also I think
both. I think Cancelo or Zinchenko. $4,800. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll put it this way. I think they're fine, and if they're a last piece, then that's great. But I also think if they're a last piece, then you did something else wrong.
Okay, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Because I feel the same way with cash and target for Aston mm-hmm. Villa. Like I just don't. Okay, they're fine. Like okay, I have nothing against either of them at those prices. They're fine. Same they're for fine. Van Aanholt. He starts at $4,500. Okay. Seems like the defenders are all like efficiently priced. There's nothing that stands out that wants me. Lowton at $4,300. Why? Okay. I guess Veltman, $4,100. Whatever. Right.
Maybe I can assure Dan you. Byrne, I can assure you I'm not paying $4,400 for John Stones.
No, you're not doing that. We got Dan Byrne, Nathaniel Klein. If he starts, I mean, these guys have like, 2-point floors.
No, if you're playing those guys, then go play. Like if Ruben Diaz doesn't play, he's 3,800. If we get Laporte again at 2,800, you play him.
Or Eric Garcia, whichever one.
Yeah, whoever. Yeah. And I think Ezri Konsa, 2,700. Aston Villa center back is fine. Like I literally see no difference between Konsa and Target. Like anyone in between, just give me the 2,000 in savings.
Right. Even if you're playing like Ben Mee or Tarkowski.
Sure.
The Burnley center, whatever. Whatever you do. Gary Cahill, whatever. Doesn't matter at this point.
I would actually, I actually do think that matters. I don't think it's worth taking a spot in the first game.
Right. Because you'd rather have the flexibility. If you're going to punt, you could punt with... Punt with the Aston Villa, punt right. with the late game, if any. Because worst right. case scenario, a Man City, some weird lineup comes out, and now you have you're able to get Cancelo because you're going down, and then you have a better lineup.
Because Tommy Doyle is starting, and he took set pieces in an FA Cup match.
Who?
Tommy Doyle. He's like a 12-year-old from Man City.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to be in. Can you tell me a reason why we're not going to play Nick Pope again and lose? I mean, he got like a half a point and whatever, and it didn't matter on that slate last week. Would you have to figure at 4,500 he's going to be the most popular goalkeeper?
Yeah. I think enough people could play Lloris.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. He'll face a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And then once I say that, like, why not play Sanchez? He's the home underdog at 4,700. And what? It's only $200 difference between Pope and Sanchez. So we're going to get to the point like we do on every show where we talk about, oh, that's going to be the popular goalkeeper, and then mention all the goalkeepers and say whatever. But
and then next
in
week.
In my opinion, if you're going to pay up, you pay up for Ederson. You don't play Guaita at 5,100.
I think it's literally Ederson or Lloris. I actually don't think Pope is worth, like, what are you getting? You just think because Tottenham gets absolutely blown out? Like, isn't that the only way?
Win clean sheet equity, I guess?
I guess.
More likely that Burnley beats Crystal Palace than Tottenham beats Man City.
Sure.
But we know goalkeepers doesn't matter. Lloris could give up. They could lose 1-0, and Lloris has 6 saves.
Right.
And 10 points there, you're done. All the other games are 1-1. And you're, right. sitting, there with the only goal of the game as well as the goalkeeper. And that's when you just start cursing the wind on why goalkeeper scoring is like this.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that when the only goal that Lloris gives up is the Ederson goal.
Right. Why can't we play both goalkeepers?
Yeah, I'd like to play goalkeeper and utility. That's just what I need.
Right, add more bearing store line.
Yeah, I'd like to figure out a way to get negative 20 from two players.
Right, you can't play Ederson and Lloris in the same lineup. That's going to be one hell of a swing if that happens. Right? Ederson's 25% owned, Lloris is 25% owned, Ederson's lining up for the penalty. It's like if this gets saved or scored, it's going to make the difference literally on the entire slate.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be the most pivotal play in all of DFS soccer history. Right? Because Ederson then ends up with the win, clean sheet, and goal.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there with a nice 20, 22, 24 points. And Lloris is the one with like a negative two. Or it's going to be the opposite. It's the Lloris now has the 24 points score because he saved the penalty.
Right.
And then on the counter, Tottenham score. And then it's, oh, that's going to decide the whole slate because there's only going to be like two goals the whole slate.
Right.
So it's like, right? GPP's winning score is 68. Oof. And a third of that score is whichever goalkeeper that was.
Yeah. and Westwood got to 12.
Right. Right. So that's all you needed.
I think.
And the center, the only other goal in the slate was whatever random center back Andrew Laird didn't have.
Right. Right.
The other one.
Right.
It'll be literally on the same team. It's like, I'm going to play Ben Mee and Tarkowski scores.
Yep.
I'm going to play Scott Dan and Gary Cahill scores. Yep. Or something like that.
Against my goalkeeper.
Right, against your goal. No, I thought you were playing Lloris or Ederson.
Oh, right.
Right, or you're stacking them both.
It'd be funny when Ederson gets the win, clean sheet, and goal and finishes with 22 points, and Nick Pope gets 10 saves and a 1-0 win and actually outscores him.
Right.
When I'm like, Pope right. doesn't
matter.
The goalkeeper
matter. That scored a goal isn't even the highest scoring goalkeeper.
Right, right.
And that's when Big O finally quits playing. That's the moment. I've had
that's
enough.
It right there. Truly just flings the laptop out the window. And that
right.
Is
yeah, that gif with the guy jumping off the in the business boardroom down the... That's it.
Anybody has any follow-up for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at BlenderHead. That is BlenderHD. You can also find all of his Daily of Fantasy. I'm just losing it here. Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports. Theoryofdfs.com is his audio masterclass to get better at every DFS sport. Not just soccer, because I didn't hear a whole lot of soccer in there, Jordan. But I get it. It's for the masses. Whatever. But feel free, or please check that out, because it is a very good resource. Jordan also does some pretty regular videos on youtube.com/JordanCooper. These are all fantastic resources to get better at daily fantasy sports, so check those out. You can also find me in the RotoWire Discord chat, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat if you have not joined. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you could just please hit the like button below and feel free to subscribe, as well as rate and review if you are listening on the audio version of this podcast wherever you listen. Jordan, thank you for that, and good luck on Saturday. All day Saturday.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.